Welcome to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Join us on our journey to tokenize the world. Let's roll. Welcome back to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Today we have a special guest. We have Adam Mazzachetti from Cora, and they're insured protection for the digital age, bringing consumer protection as well as additional transparency to projects, as well as everybody on the blockchain. Adam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Travis, and always a pleasure to be a guest on these amazing podcasts, especially talking about important topics such as real-world assets and, you know, providing protection over them.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that we met on a couple different Twitter spaces or X spaces and talking, just geeking out on RWAs and everything blockchain, kind of the future of finance. And, you know, really, we hit it off on a lot of different conversations. So I think one of the things I just wanted to understand first, you usually start off with a typical podcast scenario is, you know, Adam, like what got you into this? I mean, what was kind of the precipice of moving into this whole kind of blockchain world full time and this type of project?
Yeah, so I was, you know, in my previous life, I was actually a chef, an executive chef, and I just have enough, put the tools down, and I wanted to learn something new. And so I stepped into the space of, you know, crypto. I said, I want to buy Bitcoin. And my fundamental thing is, how do I get my money out and how do I keep it safe? And as I started to explore, I started to realize that this is an exciting space, but there was a lot of gaps in there. And as I evolved through and got back in, it was about early 2017. And as I transitioned through the whole ICO era and stuff, I started to see people getting scammed and hustled. And I mean, I succumbed to a ton of them as well. Great marketing, slick marketing, the whole thing. Fast forward to 2019, we started to see the DeFi boom, and we saw a lot of rugs, a lot of scams, but a lot of exploits where we were seeing in excess of $90 to $100 million a day being exploited, regardless of having, you know, an audit badge over. It became a meme almost. Oh, I've got an audit, but it does nothing for me. It's still going to be exploited. And so as I started to evolve that, I thought, wait a minute, what is missing? The fundamentals that are missing is insurance protection over that. So insurance against that liability loss, so because there was nothing available that really substantiated what I conceived as insurance. And as we evolved and we started to look at the model of saying DeFi was a little bit risky and it was a little bit tricky to navigate. And fast forwarding, when I was living in Dubai, really, I saw an article about, I think it was in 2021, 2022, that they had collateralized NFTs. So, well, if they could collateralize NFTs as a loan, then they can insure that because it becomes a technical asset, right?
Yeah.
And so that's when it evolved, and we started to go further down the rabbit warren and doing deeper research as we've done for the last couple of years. And we realized that there's a massive market that is missing out on the opportunity to have further protection, because it doesn't matter how much due diligence you do yourself, do your own research, you're still left with a massive liability. I mean, the amount of money that's been lost and stolen and hustled is in mega billions now. I can't remember the number. The last count was about 15, 20 billion. And just in the NFT space alone was, you know, a billion or 1.5 billion. And that's just ridiculous. Like, that's unrecoverable funds. And so this is where the concept of Cora came about.
Yeah, and it's exciting to hear about the development of Cora. And as you know, we're early in the industry, and a lot of feedback from a lot of the founders I talk to, particularly in RWA, many times they're coming from a different industry, or, you know, in some cases they've been in tech. But a very common theme is that they discovered Bitcoin. Many times they've discovered, you know, crypto kind of early on, you know, in the 2016, 2017 era, and they've just been constantly curious about, you know, where it's going, what's happening, and really keeping their finger on the pulse. And as you mentioned, for most of the time, it's because we've all experienced something negative across this, you know, across our path of crypto. And, you know, like you said, whether it's the do your own research mantra or, you know, you're on your own kind of stuff. Obviously, for all of us to have the real world adoption instead of real world just assets and the real, you know, bring people on chain, it is the future. The digital economy is, you know, we don't have to convince anyone on this call or anyone on my channel that's the future. But there is, and there are multiple ways to improve our path on chain and protect ourselves. So Yeah, tell us a little bit about Cora and how this kind of this idea came about, and you know, how this insurance protection works.
Yeah, so you know, a quick summary. You know, Cora, the name, as you pronounce it in Italian, my heritage is Italian, and in Italian, Cora means heart. Or we say Cora, heart. For us, it's about keeping things close to your heart, safe. And so, again, it's about safety and security. And, you know, it's close to my heart. My background is in cybersecurity and behavioral psychology. So I'm constantly evolving and looking at what people are trying to do and ways they're hustling and scamming and stuff. And so we're about making that, just the landscape, a lot more adaptable. You know, the amount of conversations and panels that I sit on, the key thread is we can have all these great ideas and we can be all these builders and we're all in a room together high-fiving each other. But the thing is, unless we make the space safe and transitionally secured, people are not going to come on board and not going to jump in. And so that's what we're trying to solve. That's what Cora is about, making this space available to everybody, to the masses, to say, okay, I feel safe, to the point where regulators are saying, it's okay, you know, this is certified by Cora or another organization, but it's this, we're clearing out the path. We're getting rid of the hustlers and the Wild West. So you're not walking out in the ghetto, so to speak, and hoping to survive. You're going to actually be safe. You're going to get in and out comfortably.
Right. And so walk me through this a little bit. I know, obviously, I'm pretty knowledgeable about what you're building, and I love the name and the backstory there. That's really super cool. I guess to start off with, like, just, you know, to your point, I think one of the biggest things is, even in this current cycle, as we're talking, you hear a lot of people on like X timeline and stuff like that saying like, where's retail? Where's retail? Well, you know, a lot of retail is not coming back because they got burned in 2021, et cetera. And to your point, there needs to be a better way. So what happens, you know, with, let's start with the consumer and really where that big mover is of protecting consumer. What are things Cora is doing? What are some of the things you've built so far and tested that are providing this insurance, providing this level of protection for consumers?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do, and it's sort of come as an evolution, is our RugProof certification badge, which is insurance backed. And what we're doing is we're going through the projects. We're starting at the granular level of the projects and saying, okay, what is this project doing? Doing the background, KYC, checking the audit code, checking the team, checking out their financials, checking out all the particulars to see what's their history, what have they done, like almost creating a credit score rating for them and then certifying them on that badge. So that's giving consumer protection to say, in the event that they do fall over and they do scam or they do rug or do anything like that, there is an insurance liability to be able to, you know, claim against. And further to that, we're also the promoters, the marketers, the agencies that are actually, you know, sharing these projects out there, because we only know about stuff by advertising. And so then we're going, okay, we're providing that RugProof certification over these marketers, all these Coles, all these promoters. And so we're just trying to really dip out the space there to, hey, we want to make sure that everything you touch in that space, in that project, it's like you look at it, it's like you don't have to second guess and say, okay, yeah, it's Cora certified. I'm okay with that. There's insurance backing on that. And in addition onto that, once the project has gone through, we also have the ability to take on the capacity to insure the actual certificates, the digital certificates you're obtaining. If it's an NFT of an artwork, or if it's the tokenized digital certificate of a real world asset, because it's likened to a bearer bond, where I use the example, you know, in the early days, you just go to the nightclub and drop off your coat and you get a little cloakroom chip. And if you lost that ticket, you had no way to confirm that it was actually your coat. And so you kind of like lost your thing. Well, in this digital space, in the crypto space, in the blockchain space, if you lose it, as we know, you lose your keys, you lose your certificate, you're gone. It's not coming back. So we want to be able to mitigate against that, again, creating an extra layer. So even though you found a project that you trust and it's Cora certified, then you've come in now and say, okay, I'm buying this NFT. I want an extra protection against that in the event that I lose it or something happens. We also provide that service.
Yeah, I mean, that's exciting because as you mentioned, not only there's a strong need to vet projects, you know, and you lived in the United States for some years too, but, you know, the United States, there's the Better Business Bureau, you know, a type of thing where they vet companies and they go through, you know, a somewhat rigorous process, and companies pay a fee, they go through it. It's a very standardized process, and it's something that is, you know, millions and millions of businesses have participated in this. So the concept is not new in the sense of like how it works, you know, bringing a Web 2 idea to Web 3 and improving it is what I see is happening here in the sense of the rug proof certification. You know, and obviously 90% of businesses fail anyway, but it doesn't mean that they should be rugging people. And we know in Web 2, you know, in just standard economy, the Better Business Bureau is even just having that alone, going through that process, similar to what we're talking about with Quora, is already a badge of protection, because people know if a company has already gone through Better Business Bureau, they've shown some initiative, if you will, to be recognized as reputable and recognized as providing something of value. So I think that's just one kind of correlation I see to what you're doing and how it kind of correlates to the United States. And I think, there's a very clear path for people to submit, you know, disputes for Better Business Bureau. And so ultimately, I see a lot of how Quora applies to Web3, particularly because it's wild, wild west now. And it is a way for you to come in, create a network effect of protection. You're able to certify projects, whether it's influencers, all kinds of things. You know, so whether it's a project that's selling artwork, or like you mentioned, or if it's a real estate project, you're then not only just able to verify that that project is legitimate, but then you're ultimately able to ensure those certificates, whether that be artwork or a fractional real estate share, that you're able to then go deeper and be able to verify that and even insure it upon loss. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's exactly
okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. Nice. We all know that, insurance is a big part. I mean, whether people like paying for insurance or not, like, it only takes one event to teach you the lesson of why insurance is quite important for all of us and whatever aspect that is. So as much as people are investing in Web3 right now, combined with the fact that everything is going to be tokenized, much of real estate will be tokenized in the next few decades, any very expensive collectibles, etc. So it's not unheard of that someone's net worth will be literally sitting in a wallet, in a digital wallet, in the future. It's very, very, in my opinion, I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to move to that transitional space. And it's like, we might not even realize what's happening or the magnitude of what's happening or how it's happening, like in the background, the mechanics that are happening in the background. It's like, we go to our background. We don't care what the bank's doing behind the background. All we know is we look at our, or we go to the ATM and we want to know that our money's there and we can pull it out and we can spend it and do that. But behind there's a lot of mechanics going on. It's the same thing's going to happen where assets are being transferred into interacting and stuff like that. And yes, our houses or our assets that we own are all going to be digitally, you know, certified or digitally on chain or whatever you want to call it. Right, we're actually looking, they're going to be digitized. And those digitizations are great, it makes it convenient, but also opens up for lots of liabilities. And so protecting against that, and where's that safety and security and that sort of transitioning? So we're sort of sitting there holding the hand and then bringing them up. And you're right, it's like the Better Business Bureau. It's kind of saying, hey, how do we vet these projects to say they're legitimate, but also too to help and assist the regulators, because the regulators are trying to sit there and figuring out how do we make our consumers safer, right, and protected against the event of being scammed and played and hustled. And as sad as it is, you know, they're right in what they're saying, because it's happening hand over foot. Like, you can just, you know, go through X profile, you can look on LinkedIn, you can look at everywhere, and there's a litany of just, you know, projects or people getting scammed or stories and stuff. And it's like, well, there's our case. And so trying to solve that, and you want to onboard all these additional projects, you know, or real estate or tokenized real estate, and bring it all on chain, it's really, you know, there's this push point. Regardless whether we classify them as security or unregistered securities, there's still fundamental risks associated with that, and that's what we're trying to seek to mitigate and assist in evolving the space as best as we can. It's not just us alone. We want more people to try and help to solve this problem, because it's a large task.
You're right. I mean, this is definitely a very big project. And as we've talked about even offline, that it's, you know, the network effects required to bring on the network of projects and to continue that to grow, you know, by word of mouth, by marketing, et cetera, is, you know, one at a time. You know, you're getting that rug proof certification in place, one project, one person at a time. And, you know, obviously it takes time. And every, just going back to the Better Business Bureau, I mean, they started off with their first company. You know, it is very achievable and you're early. So this is, even though this is a big aspiration, it's very achievable because you're getting ahead of this well before anyone else is doing it or talking about it, which is great because it's naturally the next step in evolution of our industry. It's the only way that we're going to legitimize things overall. And like you mentioned, and what just overall getting new people on board and being comfortable with the risks and minimizing the risk ultimately is what CORE is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And also too, as I said, I was at a conference last night or a talk last night, on the panel discussing, and it was, the fundamentals was, you know, projects, yes, you know, the marketing, yes, but then we got down to the point of the person, peer-to-peer, you know, the individual, like, buying through. And I use the example of, like, Facebook Marketplace. You know, who am I buying it off? Is it legitimized? How is it verified? I mean, you know, there's all war stories of everybody going, yeah, I walked out with a carton of milk, you know, in a box, you know, and I thought I was buying something, you know. Or somebody else selling a device that's really worth, you know, $3,000, but they're selling it for half price or 50% off, but it's brand new in the box. And it's like, sure, that doesn't look dodgy or, you know, scammy at all. You know, absolutely not. Right. And so, you know, you're creating this thing and it's like, well, wait a minute, why don't we, you know, look, even to the point where I see the vision and the future of, you know, individuals being CORE certified. It's like, Travis, you're CORE certified and Adam's CORE certified. Hey, we can trade between each other and there's that protection layer over because we're operating in this space. And it goes down to the point where it transitions from Web3 into Web2, where it's like your phone company or your bank that's requiring, you know, a certain amount of ID. Like in Australia, we have 100 points of identification, where it's like, okay, you've already got your, you know, your wallet, your crypto wallet, or your Web3 wallet or your Web3 identification, which is then also you've been certified. So you've done your background checking and stuff, and then that's been satisfied. And it's like, okay, cool. No need to do any more. Like we've started to roll that out in Australia at the moment, the digital digital ID, national digital ID program, right? And so it's kind of, it's a one ID sort of thing, but it's still, you know, there's still gaps in between. And it's like the same thing. We're still into trading. I'm still sending crypto to somebody else or somebody else is sending to me or I'm buying something, you know, maybe it's through an exchange. But it's still peer-to-peer transaction, and the same with the DeFi transactions. Like, I'm borrowing money off you, you're lending to me, vice versa. Yes, we're using platforms at the moment, but eventually it's going to become just, you know, peer-to-peer through our phone. Again, how do I trust you? How do you trust me? And I see that vision and that future where even the individual has a rug-proof certification badge over themselves saying, hey, I'm operating in this space and I live in this space, I live in this world. I protect my data and my space and everything else of that. And this is it. This is my badge to certify to say that I've, you know, gone the extra mile to say I want to be a reputable person operating in this space. Because I don't think, I mean, we say businesses need that, that's fine. But it's also, it's really the individual that causes majority of the problems as well. You know, so it's kind of this whole vicious cycle. And keep that pipeline tight and clean. We can then say to the regulators to say, hey, this is what we've done and this is what we're doing, and we're working closely with the regulators in Australia, the securities regulators in Australia, to try and find out good solutions that we could roll out globally, because that's into what they're trying to do. They're trying to understand the patterns of their citizens that they're protecting and the businesses that they're operating with. And it's like, okay, it's a nice clean pipeline that's, and they don't need to investigate or do too much more digging. And it's just surface level. It's like, great, that's it. I feel comfortable. We're all in a safe ecosystem with not too much touch points.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Again, just digital reputation. I mean, having quality reputation. I mean, this goes back to eBay. This goes back to, you know, eBay is a perfect example. I mean, from the beginning of time, you know, it's quite important and it's quite valuable if you have a good reputation score on eBay. because a lot of people do dodgy things, as you mentioned. And that's one reason why Facebook Marketplace, which is a great example, because they don't have really any tie to a reputation. You know, you can spin up things and then you're kind of making a judgment call of if it's dodgy or not. eBay, you know, well before Facebook Marketplace, which is kind of crazy to think about it, but eBay solved this problem, you know, not solved it, but I mean, they were addressing this problem 15 years, you know, before Facebook Marketplace was even popular, but they've just completely avoided, you know, Facebook Marketplace completely avoided it. And it is a problem because it does cause for, a lot of people to get harmed in transactions they're trying to do. I mean, some things on Facebook Marketplace can be expensive. I mean, sometimes the risk is lower because maybe the cost of what you're purchasing is lower, but regardless, you shouldn't be scammed. And I think that's where this online and digital reputation will obviously, it's going to win out. It's, you know, again, it's just, again, it's a proven model. You know, you're just building upon better systems that already exist and people already want. And you're right. I mean, the future is all peer-to-peer. I mean, it's converting trust or lack of trust into truth. So those are the smart contracts. Those are all the things you're doing where ultimately peer-to-peer in the future, some things that are digitally native are just essentially a smart contract. I mean, it really almost doesn't matter if a person's reputable or not, depending on what, if it's digitally native, because then there will be a smart contract where there's essentially middleware and, you know, you both agree and there's a middleware smart contract that solves that problem. But what we're talking about, and as you're continuing to grow this, build this out, and as we're seeing, what's shifted is this whole RWA narrative and so many things that are not digitally native that are now being represented on chain. And what does that mean for peer-to-peer transactions? And I think that's where digital reputation really kind of rears its head here quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, this is sort of just popped up, you know, last night, evolution. It's like, yeah, it is. It's that. Like, yeah, we have all the technology and we're solving that problem there by providing that insurance protection over that. And it's the project to say, is the project legitimized? Well, that's the project, but then it breaks it down to, you know, we say the individual because we're saying marketers, right? Promoters and marketers. Well, that's an individual. Well, then what about the person as well? Because it's the person trading between. Okay, so we've got coverage and protection and sort of reassurance over the platforms, the protocols, right? The smart contracts to make sure the code is good and everything's operational and there's a background check and everything's supported there. But what about, yeah, the individual? And exactly, it's that whole pipeline because it is peer-to-peer and it's going, you're going to do this to me, and we know you do a transaction on chain. It's irreversible, right? It's like almost impossible to get your money back. And even you could see it to say, oh, I can see what they've done with it, and they've taken it all along, but I got scammed. I got played, right? And right. Then it starts to create this whole effect. And going back to, you know, the real-world asset sort of association, it's like back in the 1800s, someone successfully sold the Eiffel Tower for scrap metal. Right after the Olympics is finished, like clearly it wasn't for sale, but convinced somebody to buy it. So what's to stop that same situation, that same, so the project was so solving the project problem there, but then it's like, where's the asset living, right? Is the asset legitimized and verified? And we're still trying to solve that problem. And I think, you know, Materium is doing a great job in that. Like, it's another project that's actually dealing with the real world asset and trying to validate that with true legal context. So that's a really helpful sort of process and platform. But, you know, there are still gaps in that. But then it's the individual dealing with the individual, same thing. It's like that whole pipeline through, because it is. It's just saying, again, that eBay credit score going, wait a minute, reputation score, yep, I'm buying this. And we know that eBay is secure. It's fine. We're happy with eBay's process. And then there's the refund policies through PayPal, you know, that's certified and it's covenants and all that there, that's great. But it's just, again, it just brings people's comfort levels down. And when their comfort levels are down, they're happy to jump in and step into the space and say, hey, to the point where, you know, I envisage a future where, you know, you've got your house and you say, I'm going to collateralize my house. I'm going to put my house up on chain to earn some money against that. And somebody else has got capital, crypto capital, and they're going to put it together and we're going to create a pool of fund and we're going to lend that out peer-to-peer. You know, somebody else is going to manage that and they're going to peer-to-peer run it through, right? So someone's custodian, someone's holding the capital, fine. But now it's like, who am I borrowing it off? That's the first question you ask. It's like, am I borrowing it off a loan shark, right? Or am I borrowing it off somebody that's reputable? Okay, the platform's reputable. Okay, who are the people behind the platform? You know, are they reputable as well? So forth. And just this is the depth just doesn't end. It's onion layers. You keep peeling back, peeling back, peeling back. And so then when we come to the problem of something's gone, fallen over, where was the due diligence done? You know, was the due diligence done at surface level or all the way through? And it's kind of going, yeah, I feel comfortable. Exactly. You buy off somebody that's got a, you know, a super score on eBay, the reputation score, it's like, yeah. Or marketplace, the same thing. I think the supposed solution to it really go by is how many reviews have they got? You know, have they got right. good reviews, exactly like that? And it's still a thing. And it's like, well, we're time poor. We don't have time to read through reviews and see if the reviews are legitimate or not. Are they being propped up? Because again, we can hustle through that. It's like, you just want to be able to look and go, yep, I'm comfortable with that. It's good. It's got the badge. It's got a tip. It's got a badge. It's good. Or it's there. You know, there's something that's certified and say, yeah, that's good.
That's a good way to put it. I agree. Because, yeah, I mean, time poor is a good example. I mean, time is the most important thing we all have now. And, you know, like you mentioned, you don't want to crawl through 500 reviews or 12 reviews or 30 reviews every time you want to participate in anything. So that's, you know, that's a great point. And I think it's maybe a good transition to kind of talk about your process, like how to, like for a project, for example, coming through, what does this look like? What does a vetting process look like? I mean, you don't have to go super granular, but like in general, what does it look like? How would somebody get involved? And what does insurance aspect look like? You know, is it like some kind of umbrella insurance or like where does that?
Yeah. Excellent questions. So, you know, the simple process what's involved in the vetting, I liken it to this way. It's like if you're going to get your project listed as an IPO, right, the requirements for the regulatory requirements, you know, are quite stringent, quite detailed. It's to that level. You know, there's basically, so we want to know the code's good. We want to know the team's right. We want to know the project's legitimate. We want to understand your socials. We understand all these background checks to make sure if we're putting our badge on there, you're certified. So it's quite, you know, it's quite detailed. But we've also got a streamlined process of doing that. Able to achieving that, it's just simple. We have an application. You on our website, you fill out the application form. The process is there. Pay your application fee, and your application is processed. And you know, depending on the backlog that we've got at the moment, we're getting through applications within just under a week, but you know, we're getting a lot more inquiries, so that might increase, and we're sort of scaling up the team to able to facilitate that, and you know, also using automated tools because we need to iterate fast because people need that, and it's also you need to evolve with the times. It's like you can't just have anything all manual because that sort of defeats the purpose of technological evolution. So where's the insurance come into it was the other question you had in there. So what happens is we provide that certification over there, and there's an insurance backing on, there's a liability insurance behind that badge. This is base level. We're saying, okay, this project is certified, and we're liking it to, like, you know, a boat. You get an inspector out to say the boat's seaworthy, right? He said, yep, it's seaworthy. The boat's gone out to sea and it sinks, right? The inspector can now be sued, right? So there's a liability against that. So we provide that insurance over that certification to say, hey, we're actually certified this project, we've done our due diligence, we're backing our badge with our insurance. Further on from that is then when we start to take capacity on of the actual project and the individual assets. So depending on the projects, they might say, we want to bulk in the price into our ticket sale. So we're going to sell 1,000 tickets at X amount. And we say, no worries, this is the agreed price, and we'll charge you percentage per the thing, and we'll bulk that in, and that comes automatically bulked into the customer. Now, in the example of a project where it was selling, the ticket price was 1,500, but the value, true value, is about $3,000-$3,500, just depending on the asset, what it was. Well, it's like you've got a base level coverage. It's like when you know, get your standard warranty on buying something, you get your base warranty, and then you're going to pay for your extended warranty. Well, that's there. That's an extended warranty, that insurance protection. You pay for the additional coverage over of your asset there. And then that's a lot more involved. And that's that we understand the project. So if we've taken the project on, we understand the asset there. Then it comes down to the increased value. Okay, are you using a hot wallet? Are you using a cold wallet? Are you using one of our systems, or are you using your own system? You know, obviously, depending on the complexities, the volume, the amount, and the mechanics around where you're storing it and what you're doing with it will determine the risk association. And that's something we'll sit there with our actuary and work out what is the best risk association. It's like anything, you take a policy out on something. Yeah. And if it's high risk, you're going to be a higher premium. Lower risk, lower premium. You know, it's all about risk reward ratio, and this is what we have to assess. But just the primary part is starting with the certification.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's very common insurance process of weighting, you know, weighting risk, and risk has a direct impact on price, and or even if you get approved or not, you know, obviously, which is another aspect. So, yeah, that's exciting. So, what other processes we want to walk through? Even from a consumer side, they have the ability to secure their digital assets, right? If that's, understand that correctly. So you have even built for that currently, where some people can do that for certain assets, I believe, correct? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would happen is you'd come to our platform, right? Which is the application's in beta at the moment. This is quite a lot of rigor testing because we're looking at different chains to support as well. So what you do is you connect to Vault, you come through into the application. From there, you have your assets, and then you upload your assets. And we take custody of those original. So what happens is we take custody of the original asset to there, and then we create a digital clone of that, a digital certificate, a copy of that, certified copy. It sits on chain with the ID and it's through the project, so they know that it's legitimized. And in the event that that's stolen, you've got, that's a replaceable thing, and you can trade and transfer that as well. The original is also sitting in a custodian vault, which is insured as well. So there's deeper layers, there's multiple layers of insurance protection over your asset to make sure that it's secured all the way through. So yeah, so in that process, is we just made it very simple, three easy steps. You know, click, connect, and pay, and ongoing. And in the event that you transfer the asset to somebody else who's saying, okay, I want to offload this asset, I want to sell it to somebody else, well, then what would happen is that your ownership would be blacklisted, and the new owner would be listed on there. Now, how do we identify? Well, the system is quite simple. It's quite complex, but in the sense is that you interact with it. So now I've sold you a token or NFT, Travis, and you go to interact with that, it will block you to say you need to come to the Cora platform to re-verify yourself, do your, you know, KYC and do all your details and stuff, your verification, because you won't be able to pull out the original out of the vault. And so you'll have to come and do all your thing. And then once you've done that, you can transfer it. Me, that I've sold it to you, automatically, my access has been cut off. So I can't recoup that. I can't do a re-entrancy on that or anything else like that. So yeah, there's a lot of safeguards in place to make sure that it's super secure and super safe.
Yeah, no, I really, I recommend everyone watching this and listening to this to check out your demo there on your homepage. I mean, that's exciting. Like you said, I know it's in beta right now, but that's an exciting aspect of just a peek into what you're building, what you're doing, and your vision of just onboarding, you know, the users, the future users of Web3, the current users of Web3, protecting them, and obviously getting those rails set up for projects all the way down. You know, so whether it's people coming onboarding on the front end or projects that ultimately will be onboarding people on the reverse way, and ensuring those certificates, ensuring the projects. So really, you know, it's very exciting what you're doing, and like I said, I was excited to have you on the show because I knew as we continue to talk on the different spaces we've been on, I really enjoyed your takes on things and your vision of the future and, you know, kind of where you are now and where you plan to go with this. So anything else you want to share just as we're kind of wrapping up here?
Look, I just want to say, you know, I think it's fundamental to really drive the message home, you know, collectively. I mean, yes, we're providing the service and we're there to try and help the space grow, but it's all about, you know, consumer awareness to saying, hey, you know what, it's unless the community gets behind to say, we want this, we need this, and it's clearly there. I mean, we talk about people meme coins and this and all that, and, you know, everybody's trying to make money and invest in projects and stuff, but in the day, it's like, if you're not thinking about your consumer protections, we're just gambling, and so trying to resolve and solve that, and I think it's just encouraging projects to adopt this certification. If it's not us, somebody else. Demand it, command it, because if we command and demand it, it will be able to be, you know, available. And it's, what is it? Better, faster, cheaper, right? But it's also secure. That's the thing. That's the main thing. It's like we want a better system, a faster system, but it should be secure, right?
Yeah.
It should be easier and secure. And that's the main thing that I think we want to drive that message home. It's like, you know, go through the process, encourage your projects that you're involved in to go and get certified. We've made the process really simple, completing the application, paying the fee, going through the process, getting vetted, getting checked, getting stamped, pushing that out there, making sure the marketer that you're listening to or following is endorsing projects is legitimate, making right. sure the person you're dealing with is legitimate. Those things I think is really fundamental, because it doesn't matter how many good ideas we've got, how many people are onboarding or the platforms we've got. Without this, we just don't have that transition. We're not showing the general public, the wider community, retail as we say, that we're actually operating safe. We're just still operating hustling, because if they poke their head in, even for a little peek, they're like, oh yeah, it's still happening. Still, yeah. Nothing's changed, you know? And someone made a point of that last night. One of the speakers got, attendants got up and asked a question. He said, look, I've been in since 2019. I jumped out in 2019 and I've come back now into crypto and Web3. And he said, look, nothing's really changed. I haven't seen anything, any evolution. And that's going to stop. And so this is what we're seeking to wave the flag, bang the drum and saying, hey, you know what? Your project needs to be Cora certified. Your project needs to be Rug Proof certified. Not for me, not for you, but for the rest of the community, for everybody. We need that. We need this endorsement to really drive the message home. So I encourage everybody to encourage their projects and even themselves to get involved in this space, to reach out and let us help you be safer in this space.
But the most important thing, I think, is, as you mentioned, like better, faster, cheaper. Everybody's convinced of that for blockchain. But secure and safety are really those two S words that I think that are still missing, as you mentioned, just like your example of someone, you know, being in 2019 and then popping in now, or 2021 and popping in now. You know, really, if you look at the macro, it looks the same. But, you know, just like you and I are on X Spaces and different things, there are small pockets of people doing the right thing. And there has been an evolution. And I know you agree and you know that, but to the average person, they don't see that. They just see the timeline and, you know, and the scams and the trickery and the casino, that they just more or less see all more of the same. But, you know, it takes each of us to put our best foot forward here and continue to, you know, make it safer, make it more secure for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a collective, you know, thing. It's like individually we could do a little bit, you know, but combined we're an army. And that's the fundamentals, you know, because at the end of the day, our objective is to weed out the scammers, the hustlers, and majority of them are just a collective community of their own, right? But seem like they're quite large and spread out. But if we band together and stamp out and command that sort of, you know, protection and that certification, and it is like better, faster, cheaper, yes, but it should be safe, easy, and secure, you know? So they should work together, and that's the main fundamental. So, yeah, absolutely, we need to drive that, not just the message, we need to be actioning on that, because when we're sending the message out to everybody else to say, oh, wow, the space is actually really taking an effort, because we're all about decentralization and community and all this particular. We bang the drum on about it's all peer-to-peer and community, but all we're doing is just ripping each other off, like we're community ripping each other off. And it's not giving a comfort to the general population that we want to attract to, you know, expand. Right. We're a $2.5 trillion market cap. Why aren't we a $200 trillion market cap? You know, why aren't we? Because we've got this massive chasm shift. We've got the technology there. We've got the platform. We've got institutional money pouring in ridiculous amounts of money. And I said the panel last night, these are majority all ex-bankers, you know, now in DeFi, gone from TradeFi to DeFi. So the money's there. And so the resourcing's there. We're not talking about, you know, 17, 18 people talking about this. It's there. But we just don't have the community support to say it's actually legitimately true. So people banging on. Because all you hear is the war stories. Like, oh, yeah, I got rugged or I got that. And so let's solve that. Let's get rid of that problem. As a community, we could do that. We can get rid of that.
Yeah. Well said. And just to recap, I mean, this is the protection for the digital age. I mean, that's what you're offering. And like you said, that's the missing component right now. The interest is greater than it ever has been in digital assets, and the momentum is unstoppable, as you know. So this has been a great conversation, Adam. I really appreciate it. And everyone visit Qorra. It's Qorra.io, and check out their demo. Keep up on what they're up to, because their beta and all of the new things they're doing. If you're a project and you're involved in the space, really check this out. Get in contact with the team. Submit an application. Find out how you can get involved in the movement and be part of the network.
Yeah, amazing.
Thanks again. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Travis. Love having you on the show. It's been amazing. Thank you very much.
Cheers. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Real World Assets Show. Thanks for joining us on our journey to transform the future of finance, one asset and token at a time. For more insights, visit us on the web at rwa.builders. I'm Travis John, and I'll see you on the next episode.